And we'll go prayer in a little bit. And I called my wife. I said, this reminds me of the good old days when my dad's trucks didn't have no brakes and all that stuff. We driving trucks and no brakes. Michael Shane, if you would, I'm going to have you go through these prayer letters here and see which one you would like to read before we pray tonight for missionaries. And we need to pray definitely for the missionaries. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. We'll go there. And the congregation of children of Israel, man, they're coming out of Egypt. They've been running through the wilderness there for years and years. And God, he gets upset with them. And I tell you what, the Lord gets upset with you, brother. I tell you what, look out if the Lord's upset with you. Now, I know we're his children, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ and all that. I know that. But the Lord, the Bible talks about, you know, for a child of God in the New Testament, that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I believe you'll lose rewards by things that you sow of your bad things. If you sow good things, you'll reap good things. Amen. But the children of Israel, the Lord says, they tempted him 10 times. They've tempted the Lord. And look at verse 23 back at 20. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. And when your Bible talks about in the Old Testament, they gathered to his people. When he's gathered to his people, he's talking about he's going to paradise and gathered to his people. And when Jesus Christ was crucified and rose from the grave and rose up out of the grave, the Bible says he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So Aaron and all the Old Testament saints went down in paradise below. That's why when you read Luke chapter 16, you'll find in Luke 16, the rich man says, he's seen Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he could look across the great Gulf fix. But here the children of Israel, Aaron's dying, and then Eleazar's going to take over, and his son. And then chapter 21, and when the king Arad, the Canaanite that dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. That right there, you have underlined that, because, Israel, when things were right between them and God, they would never lose a battle. They was never going to lose. The Bible says he took prisoners. That's unreal. To me, that's unreal. But it seems like that what's happening is God allowed it. God allowed this Canaanite king to take some prisoners from Israel. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and he delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Horemeth. And they journeyed from Mount Horeb by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And that right there caught my eye thinking about that. People were much discouraged because of the way. You get discouraged in this day and time, man. I was telling Mike Rossini a little bit ago, I refuse to let this stuff get me down. I refuse all the junk going on. I mean, the Lord's been good to our church. He's been good to our lives. And, man, he's been good to all the way around, been good to us. And this little thing that we're going through is nothing compared to what the children of Israel and what Israel went through in the book of Acts and the saints of God that went through in the book of Acts, what they went through. This is nothing. This is nothing. And I'm not trying to say make light of everything going on, but I mean, this is nothing compared to what the church has been through as a whole, as the early church. But the Bible says they were discouraged because of the way. And you can, you know, like I said, we had no Thanksgiving together. My wife and I thought, here we are back this, when we were, you know, just got married and everything, but at least we did have a Thanksgiving then. My wife was so sick she couldn't even cook. But the people were discouraged and because of the way. And I'll tell you what, discouragement does come in a Christian's life, but you can't let that thing beat you down. You can't let it keep you down. You can't let the devil and the world and the flesh beat you up like that. You got to encourage yourself. Sometimes you just got, the way I get encouraged, I read my Bible, I start singing, and I get encouraged by things that God reminds me of where he brought me from. And, you know, I can look back in my life and thank God, hallelujah, you've been good to me. You brought me a long ways. And man, God's been always been faithful. And the Bible says that people spake against God. Here's where you get in trouble. When a person gets discouraged, you're better off keep your mouth shut. And when you're discouraged, don't get around talking about what you know, this and that. I hear Christians say, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do that. You better shut up, stupid, because you're going to bring judgment upon yourself. And if you're discouraged, don't just keep saying, Lord, I'm just keep this between you and me. And Lord, I know you can encourage me no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm going through. God, if you're who you say you are, and if I sing praises to you and, man, things going on, you can encourage me. I know God can encourage you. And people forget that. So they get on Facebook, they get on the phone, they try to find encouragement from other people. Some Christians go back to a bottle. They go back to drugs. If you're watching online right now and you're saved and you're going to drugs and you're going to a bottle, shame on you, you sorry stinking dog. Somebody ought to whip your hind in. And maybe if I find out, maybe I'll whip your hind in. But you need to, man, thank God for his mercy, man. You need to be encouraging yourself. The Bible says that people speak against God and against Moses. Man, the first thing they want to do is accuse somebody else for their problems. And that's the way people are. And Christians shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't be blaming somebody else for your problems. You ought to be thanking God for what he's done for you and where he brought you from. But the first thing they did, the Bible says they spake against God. And man, the Lord says, man, this is 10 times these people murmured against me. 10 times. God is God. And he said he'll supply all you need. You look at all the promises in the Word of God. I mean, you think all the things that God's promised the nation of Israel. He said, I'm going to give you a place with milk and honey, and you're going to be your own land. You know what they were? Here they were slaves for 400 years, and they forgot what happened to them. They forgot all the whoopings and the beatings they got and the death that they faced in Egypt. They forgot the taskmasters. They forgot all that stuff. I remember when I got saved. I remember before, like it was before I got saved. I remember those things. And man, it makes me thankful for what God's done for me. And the Bible says the people speak against God. I mean, don't let it come out of your mouth. Don't even let it be in your heart. And say, Lord, God, my heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. God, forgive me for my heart. Man, my heart is so wicked at times. I mean, you think about it. After you've been saved and you've been serving God, the thoughts that go through your mind and your heart sometimes, I mean, you deserve to be in hell for that. But God's been merciful to us. God's been good to us. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light bread. Here God rained down a miracle, light bread. It was like a cornbread meal. And he says he gave them light bread. Every day they didn't have to pay for it. They went out there, God rained the thing down. You say, well, you get tired of it after 40 years. I probably would. After about a week, I probably get tired of it. Isn't it something? I was going down the road the other day trying to figure out what we want to eat. We got so many places to go eat, so many places to have, and the pork chops. You can have pork chops. You can have steak. You can have chicken. You can have all these things. And we're not saying, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like that. I mean, and they had manna rain down from heaven, and God gave them quail at night, gave them quail. And they were just, God was taking care of them. He said he was going to take care of them, bring them to the land. But the Bible says they spake against God and against Moses. And they were accusing God and accusing Moses of bringing them out of Egypt to let them die in the wilderness. Now, God didn't bring them out of Egypt and bring them out of that place of bondage to let them die out there in the wilderness. He didn't do that. He brought them out for a victory. And the Bible says the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Amen, I would too. You see a bunch of fiery serpents running around and biting people. I'll tell you what, nothing will scare you more than the stinking snake showing up in your bedroom or on your bed. I remember Brother Jay's father-in-law was telling about his wife being there in Africa and going down the road in her Jeep. And she was going down the road, and she looked down, and there was a snake wrapped around one of them two-steppers. And she was praying the whole time. And she pulled over real slow, got out, you know, real slow, and got out. And, man, that thing would have bit her. She'd been dead. They would have found her later. But that thing, she got out of there and, man, got out and shook it off, you know, and took off running screaming. But the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And, man, they were complaining, they were murmuring. God got fed up with it. God got fed up with the people who spake against God and against Moses. And I realized there was a mixed multitude here that came out of Egypt with them. There was a bunch of people, and the Lord was going to thin out the ranks a little bit. But you know what that shows me? When a person gets discouraged and they get running their mouth or saying all kinds of things they shouldn't say or just going back to the world and talking against God, and there's a Christian that are saved that's talking against God, talking against his church, I'm going to tell you something. The outcome ain't going to come out right. I can tell you that right now. It ain't going to be good for you. If you're talking against God and against this church, against this book, and turning your back on those things, it ain't going to turn out good. I can tell you that right now. I mean, there's a fiery serpent heading your way, brother, and you better look out. And especially a Christian, somebody that knows the truth. You know, the Bible talks about people that know the truth and turn their back on it? My Lord, over in the book of Hebrews. But you talking about a Christian turning their back on the truth. I talked to some people just recently that's turned their back on the truth, that knew what was right, knew they was got saved, knew that the Bible was real, and they turned their back on it. And we've seen a lot of people in this church get fall by the wayside and go out and turn their back against God and against the church, run the church down. I'm going to tell you something, it ain't going to be a good outcome. Guarantee it, ain't going to be good. The Bible says they spake against God and against Moses. I mean, man, you think about God sending fiery serpents. You know, the Bible talks about that Jesus Christ gives you this whole deal, this whole thing happened. This whole thing happened, and the Lord's going to, he says something in the New Testament and likens himself to this serpent. Look at this. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Jesus Christ likens himself to this. And you know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he became sin for us who knew no sin. He became a serpent. He became that brass serpent on a pole, brass, a type of judgment. And the Bible says in John chapter 3, look at this. And you think about what Jesus Christ went through for you and I. Not only the suffering of all that he went through and this to be born of a woman and raised and all that coming through this life, and then at 30 years old, and then the Bible says he started his ministry at 30 years old and then was crucified at 33 and a half. And look what Jesus said to his disciples, he says this to Nicodemus. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that cometh from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Very simple. And, a lot of people got it different ways of being born again. They say you got to be baptized, join the church, all that crazy stuff. But the Bible's real clear on what being born again is. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. A lot of Church of Christ and a lot of religions try to say that born of water is baptism. But it's talking about a physical birth. The next verse, look what it says. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's a physical birth. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You got two births here, a physical and a spiritual. Marvel not at saying thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man have ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man. He says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. Jesus Christ loved the world, likens it to Moses lifting up that serpent in the wilderness. That serpent, the Bible says, God sent a fiery serpent among them. And then he tells Moses, look, he says, I want you to make an image. And I want you to see this image. I want everybody to see this image. Look what I want. Let's read on back down to Numbers chapter 21. Go back to Numbers chapter 21 and verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. The biting, you can liken this serpent biting people as man being bit by sin, man on his way to hell. If a man's on his way to hell, he's been bit by sin. Sin entered into the world. And Jesus said, and then Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look at verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against God, against thee. Pray on the Lord that he take away the serpents from among us, from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, I mean, here's the cure right here. Or if you're bit, I mean, the cure is right here. And he says, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Looking upon the serpent on the pole. And Moses made a serpent of brass type of judgment, and put it upon a pole. And if any man, it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched and so on. So there's, you come through this passage, you come through here, and you find where God gets upset with the people. I mean, the Lord gets upset not just once, but quite a few times. Because every time he turned around, they were blaming God for their problems. They were blaming God and Moses. They were blaming the man of God. And they turned around, and then God sent these fiery serpents and bit a much of the people, and a lot of the people died. And the Bible says, and he told Moses to make this serpent of brass. That had to be something. You know, and he said, whoever looks upon it shall live. Whoever gets a look upon it. And that was a miracle in itself. You're talking about a cure, just looking upon him. And Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, you come to Jesus Christ, you look upon him. We trust him. The Bible tells us that if a man call upon the Lord, he said he shall be saved. If a man call upon the Lord. This thing here is a type of what Jesus Christ became for us. The Bible says, take your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus Christ became a serpent on a pole. You know, we see you see ambulances going by. You see hospitals. They always got a serpent on the pole. You ask them, what does that mean? Where does that come from? They don't know where it came from. It comes from the Bible. Now, you might find some Christian that knows, but that serpent on a pole, they usually have two of them wrapped on a pole. This one here has only had, as far as I know, is only one wrapped on a pole. But that represents look and live, look and live, look and live, look and live. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 21. Actually, 20. For now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For we have made him to be sin. Look at this. For us, who knew no sin. Jesus Christ was sinless, spotless, Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And all you had to do is look upon him and call upon him. We've seen a lot of people call upon the Lord. We've seen a lot of people turn their back on the Lord. And we've seen a lot of people go away from God. You say, man, are they saved? Only God knows that, and they know it. They know if they're saved. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God, he did a swap with us. He became sin for us who knew no sin. And here we are sinners, and he took our sins and gave us his righteousness. Now look what it says, be made the righteousness of God in him. I mean, the children of Israel, I mean, it's not the same in the New Testament, because the New Testament, looking at Jesus Christ living forever, man. I mean, it's a permanent salvation, permanent. Old Testament, and the Old Testament, what they went through, it was a temporary thing. It was a temporary. If they were bitten by a serpent, they could look at it, look at the serpent on the pole. You know what the children of Israel does? They end up keeping that thing. They end up keeping it and thinking that for future reference, they thought, man, they started worshiping that thing. They started giving homage to it, started worship. Take your Bible, look in 2 Kings chapter 18. The children of Israel took this serpent on a pole, which was for a temporary moment and time with the nation of Israel, and they ended up keeping it, thinking it was going to be a permanent thing, and it wasn't. But when Jesus Christ died for us, it was permanent. We could look on to him, call upon him, it's permanent. You know what? You're watching us right now by online. If you're saved, you're permanently saved. I mean, eternally saved. You can't lose your salvation. I mean, you say, well, man, what about this? What about that? What if I did this? What if I did that? If you're saved, you don't lose your salvation. You can't lose yourself. The Bible says, whatsoever separates from the love of Christ, and nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. If you're in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we're born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Here the children of Israel in the Hezekiah's day, Hezekiah ends up having revival, and Hezekiah, look at verse 4, he removes the high places. This is Hezekiah, great king in Israel, and it says, and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Why? The children of Israel kept held on that thing. They thought that was going to be a permanent thing that they could use to look and live, look and live. No, in the Old Testament, it was a one-time deal. When the serpents came among them and bit the people, they could look on that serpent. But man, here in the New Testament, Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin. Take your Bible, look in Psalms 22. Look what the Bible says what Jesus Christ went through. Look what he says. He became a serpent. He became a serpent on that pole for us. All you got to do is call upon him. Psalms 22, look what it says. Jesus Christ cries out in the Psalms 22, and you asked a Jew. I've asked this Jew about it. I said, what is Psalms 22? Who's that talking to? He says, talking to the nation of Israel. No, it's not. It's talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about what he suffered on the cross. Look what Jesus said in Psalms 22 about himself, if I can get there. Psalms 22, and look at this, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? From the words of my roaring, O my God, I cried in the daytime, but thou hearest not. In the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. Here, that's Jesus Christ. And it says, and all they that see me laugh me to scorn. Jesus Christ went through that for you, became a worm on a pole, a serpent on a pole, so you and I wouldn't have to go and become that. If a man's not saved, he's going to end up in the lake of fire. Take your Bible, look in Mark chapter 9. Look in Mark chapter 9. If a man's not saved, if you want to thank God for something tonight, you're not going to hell. Thank God for that. Why? I've got loved ones, you got loved ones, probably in the lake of fire right now. We got friends that's probably in the lake of fire, and they're not saved. They weren't saved. Guess what the Bible says? What the Bible says they become. They become like their father, the devil. And the Bible says the lust of their father will they do. And in Mark chapter 9, look what the Bible says. Jesus said this. Mark chapter 9. He says in verse 42, he says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones and believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he would cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. A man's not saved ends up like a snake, a serpent, in the lake of fire. After 1,000 years, 10,000 years. There's people that have been in hell now for over 6,000 years. They have a body, they have a soul. And they're like a serpent in a fiery lake. A serpent, a worm, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Look at verse 44 and 45. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better to enter into a life, enter a halt into life than having 2 feet be cast into hell, into fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. I realize he's talking about tribulation. He says, if thy eye offend thee, he says, cast it. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I mean, folks, this is a serious business, serious thing. That Old Testament story about what really happened, Jesus, God tells him, put the serpent on a pole. And Jesus Christ refers to it as himself going to go and become that serpent. And whoever looks and lives calls upon him. But if a man doesn't call upon him, a man ends up becoming like his father, the devil, taking on his image. You know, when the devil showed up in the garden, you know, just go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis here. When the devil showed up, he was walking. He was walking. He was on 2 legs. And the Bible says when he showed up, then the Lord tells it, he pronounces because of sin entered into the world, and he talked even into eating of the tree. Look at verse 14 of chapter 3. It says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed. That's why women are scared to death of snakes, and they don't want to be around them. He said, I'll put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I mean, the Lord says, you're going to be on your belly, the serpent. I mean, if a man's not saved, if he comes like his father, the author of sin, the serpent. Man, I thank God that before I got saved, I know I've fallen the devil with all my heart. I was doing whatever the devil would tell me to. I would do anything and everything. Man, but when I got saved, I wasn't even looking for God. And the Lord came by my way. Boy, I look back on that, and I think, man, God, thank you again. Thank you again. I can't thank him enough for coming by my way and the blessings he's blessed me with. This children of Israel, they said, we have sinned against God. They murmured. They complained. It's just the nature of people. They just like to complain. And you get around, I don't like to be around people always complaining. I don't like to be around people complain about this, complain about that. I just don't like to be around that. I like to be around people that's always thanking God. They're praising God for from many blessings he's given us and all the many blessings they've experienced. I like to be around people that thank God for that. You see people in church, man. You see people stand up thanking God for things and thanking God and when they're at home and wherever they are, thanking God, that's a blessing. But you got some people, man, they just do not thank God for hardly anything. I mean, they just don't want to give God any kind of praise. They're just constant complainers, complaining about this, complaining about that. And we have people come to this church that's like that, always complaining about something, always got something finding fault with somebody, something. I mean, folks, if I sat around and looked at and started thinking about people, I could write a list of things I could find wrong with people. But that's not I just don't want to do that. I want to find things I can praise God for and what they've done and how God's used them. And I want to find those kind of people. I like to be around those kind of people. But man, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, that's where you and I belong. We deserve to be in hell. And thank God the Lord had mercy upon us. And man came by our way. Again, Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin. I mean, folks, when's the last time you thanked him? When's the last time you gave him praise? I mean, here's the children of Israel. They came finally when they got bit. When they finally things got bad in their life, then they came. You know, the time to thank God is when everything's good. When things are going well in your life, that's the time to thank God. And when things are going bad still, Job said this. He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. If you can pray, God, give me that kind of attitude. Give me that kind of whatever Job had in his life. No matter what he went through, I don't want to go through what Job went through. But whatever Job was going through, he was thanking God. He was giving God the praise. I mean, David, he was going through the things. He was still thanking God. He was still giving God praise. I'll tell you what. You find people that want to be thankful, boy, you find some people that's successful, people that's thankful. The children of Israel, they were complaining, and God said, I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. Just getting discouraged is not a reason to start complaining. Being discouraged and things that happen in your life, that's not a reason to start complaining. Perpetual complainers, God have mercy on them. God have mercy. Our reason for suffering sometimes is sin in our life. And things go on, we suffer for sin. We face all kinds of stuff. There's people facing stuff right now, today. There's people facing things. But I'm going to say, if you're facing something now, things are going through your life, don't be talking foolish. Be giving God praise. Say, though he slay me, yet while I serve him. You start lifting him up, giving him praise. I'll tell you what, things are changing in life. The devil knows if you're a person that's praising God and rejoicing, it's hard to take them down. Somebody's always complaining, always finding fault with something, they're easy. They're easy. Take your Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at this. Ephesians 2. And I know our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. I know that. But look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, you hath he quickened who were dead. That's verse 1. You hath he quickened who were dead. You were good as dead and in hell with your back broke and your eyes scratched out. You and I both, we were as good as in hell. And man, the Lord came by our way. If you say, man, preacher, I need to find something I can thank God for, you can thank God that you're not going to hell. Thank God for his goodness upon you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, you have thee quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, there's a spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. There's a spirit. You don't want that spirit in you, man. You don't want that spirit around you. And the devil shows up, and the devil, he always shows up questioning God. He'll always show up accusing God. He'll show up accusing God, saying, God ain't fair. God, why do you have to go through this? I think about Sue Ellen. She called me the other night. A little Sue Ellie. I always called her Sue Ellie. She always calls me Dad. I answer the phone. Sometimes you think, I don't want to answer the phone. Because, she's just lonely. The girl just lonely. She's stuck in a wheelchair. She don't have no hope of ever getting out of that wheelchair. She's got to wait on, somebody's got to wait on her. They got to feed her. They got to take care of her. They got to change her. They got to, pick her up out of that wheelchair. You know, Sue Ellen's saved. One day the Bible tells us that she's going to have a brand new body. But I rejoice knowing that she's not going to be like a serpent in a lake of fire and suffering. You know, it's all the suffering she's been through. And that's why it boggles my mind with a person that's in this life going through all the troubles and trials they go through in this life. And they still reject Jesus Christ, knowing that the Lord promised them a new body, promised them a new home, a new place. Man, a mansion prepared for them. That boggles my mind. Why in the world would a person want to reject the one that loved them the most? That's why Jesus said, for God so loved the world. He said, Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man would be lifted up. I'll take your place, he said. I'll take your place. And he did. The Son of God became the Son of Man, Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. What a exchange. What a God. And I think about Sue Ellie. She called me the other night, and I prayed with her. She said, I'm going to for a surgery. I'm thinking, my God, poor little thing. In that wheelchair, man. I've seen her up at the mall many times. We used to bring her to church, and she always wanted to come to church. I even messed around a couple times. She liked Chris, and she liked this one, and she liked that one. And I'd have them come up and get down in front of her and propose to her just to mess with her, tease with her. And she just enjoyed that. Poor little thing. She's going to be with the Lord one day. She's going to have a brand new body. You know what? When I prayed with her the other night, I prayed, God, give her doctor's wisdom. Be merciful to her. I pray the Lord come back quickly. Lord, come back and give her a new body. Look what the Bible says in verse 3. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Man, that's what we were. By nature, our nature was to complain. Our nature was to accuse God. Our nature, man, was against God. And the Lord saved us when we called upon Jesus Christ. But God, look at verse 4. But God, thank God for that. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And by grace are we saved. Have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, we're as good as there. That in the ages to come, look what it says. Check this out. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. I mean, the ages to come, the Lord's going to show you all the many things he's kept you from, all the many things that could have happened to you. Just like I said, the brakes went out on the truck. I knew that was God taking care of me. He didn't want me to hurt nobody. He didn't want that truck to crash and kill somebody. The Lord took care of me. I was thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the Bible says, if you can be thankful, even when you're discouraged, even going through troubles, think about where he brought you from, where you're going. It'll do something for you, folk. It'll do something. It'll help you get down the road a little further with a praise in your mouth and a thankfulness in your heart. I know the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. But I'll tell you what, if you can keep that in your heart and mind, be thankful towards God. It'll help you. I've never found a Christian defeated that were thankful. Never. A Christian that was thankful never can beat. You can never defeat them. Amen. Children of God, keep your heads up. Keep rejoicing. keep praising God. I mean, folks, in the Old Testament, that temporary solution was to put that serpent on a pole for that time. Jesus Christ, get to the New Testament, it was a permanent solution for the lost and dying world. Permanent. Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. You look at the alternative, where we could have been, what we would have been. You can't find a reason to be thankful. Children of Israel, coming out of Egypt, 400 years of slavery. Ancestry being whooped and beat, buried. I was watching the Ten Commandments. I don't know if it was true or not. It's something they probably threw in there. But I thought about it. It could have happened. Moses is up there, and they're building these pyramids. And they're putting these pyramids together, and they got all these Jews as slaves. They're pushing the rocks together. They prefabbed them, preformed them. And here Moses, supposed to be Moses' mother, the one that buried him and that gave him the hire. She was hired by Pharaoh's sister to nurse Moses when they found him in the bulrush. You're talking about God being in the middle of the whole thing. And Moses, it doesn't say in the Bible that happened. But I was watching Ten Commandments. I thought about it, where she's out there, she's greasing the rock in front of the rock as they're pushing the rocks together. And the taskmaster is saying, push, push. And then she falls, and part of her skirt or her dress gets caught under the rock. And she's trying to pull it out, and the rock's closing in, going to crush her. And they're saying, stop, stop. And the taskmaster is saying, no, we can't stop. We can't stop. And Moses is up there watching, and he's watching this thing. And he runs down there to see what, and they ran up to him. Somebody ran to Moses, I think it was Joshua in the movie, and said, Moses, this woman being going to be crushed. She's going to be crushed. And Moses goes down. He's still not the deliverer. He goes down and stops him and gets the old woman out. And later on, he finds out it was his mother. Now, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say that happened. They kind of added that in there. I thought, wonder if that could have happened. God was in control. God was in control of the whole thing. Guess what? God's in control of your whole life. He knows where you've been. He knows what you're going to go through. He knows all. You can trust him. You don't have to be discouraged. We can sing that song, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. I know how this thing comes out. I was just reading the other day. You say, you know, China is buying up all over the world. They're buying up biotech. China is now trying to produce a super race. That's what they want to do. They want to produce a super race, an army. They have 2 million men in their army, and maybe more. But they want to produce this super race. That's why they're messing with genetics and all this stuff, and they're buying. And they're in. If you go to California, you see a lot of Chinese in California, and they're right in the Silicon Valley, right where the technology is. And I thought about that. China has a lot of technology, but a lot of the technology they got, they stole through the internet and through buying up companies and having a share in the companies. And China, we know the Bible talks about the kings of the east coming against Jerusalem. And I thought, why would they come against Jerusalem? Why would the kings of the east, either Israel does something with an atomic bomb, or in the Valley of Megiddo when they all gather together, or there's some technology that China wants and Israel won't give it to them. And China wants to be the superpower of the world. And it looks like it's going to end up being that way. If Biden gets completely in, I mean, he's everybody's under the hand of China. Walmart is being controlled by China. Walmart. We love Walmart. America has borrowed trillions of dollars from, guess who? China. We are in debt to China. So it looks like you say, well, knowing all that and thinking about all this stuff that's going on, I'm reading all this stuff, I thought, hey, man, I still know God's in control. The Lord's going to take care of all that mess. One day, the Lord's rapture takes place. Some tribulation comes in. Some of your tribulation comes in. Guess what? The Lord's going to come back and fight for Israel. We know that for sure. Hey, man, I'm not discouraged about that. I know that Bible is right on the money. Everything's coming to pass. It didn't come to stay, but it's coming to pass. All right, we'll stop right there. Father, thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for this story in the Bible about look and live. And Lord, I thank you, God, we could look to Jesus Christ, call upon him to save our soul, repent of our sin. I pray, God, tonight there be somebody watching that's not saved. I pray you scare the fire out of them, help them to think about that lake of fire. Help them to think about where the worm died not and the fire is not quenched. And Jesus Christ already paid our sin debt so we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. A man wouldn't have to become a serpent in a lake of fire. Oh, my God, I pray, God, that you'd help my brothers and sisters tonight be thankful, be encouraged. Help us not, when we get discouraged, start talking foolish and start complaining against you, against church, or against any other brother and sister. I pray, God, help us just to be thankful. And, Lord, we can never go wrong by being thankful. We love you. We thank you again for your goodness and mercy upon us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Michael Shane's going to come.